Morning. So good to see all of you this morning. As I mentioned at the start of the service, I know some of you weren't here yet, so I'll share it again. It's going to be a little bit different kind of service. We've got a family-style service. I know we've got a lot of kids in here. I honestly love that. I love seeing all the kids in here with us, worshiping with us together this morning. This is crazy to me, but we are already halfway through 2025, over halfway through now. Technically, I actually saw this, like, it was going around on Facebook and Instagram this week, a little snapshot that said something like, we are actually now closer to 2050 than we are to the year 2000, which is mind-blowing to me. And what it reminds me of is, man, life is going by fast, so very fast, and no matter what we do as a church, at the end of the day, our responsibility, and really my responsibility as your pastor, is to just simply make sure that we stay on mission together, right? So one of the things we do every year in January is we kind of start the year by talking about our mission and our vision, our values, and like, what are we about? What does this year have in store for us, right? And so one thing that often happens, I feel like, is as you go throughout the year, you kind of cast that vision, and then it's very easy to forget about that. It's very easy to get halfway through the year and you're like, what were we kind of trying to do? What were we trying to accomplish ultimately as a church? And so one of the things I decided this year I wanted to do is about halfway through here, let's just do like a mid-year check-in. Let's talk about who are we called to be as the church, as the body of Christ, and specifically, who are we called to be as True North Church? And so we're gonna do that just for a couple of minutes here this morning. I want to keep the main thing, And so if you're new, I don't know if there's anybody new here today, but we're so glad you're here. So glad to have you joining with us, worshiping with us. Normally our services are at 9 and 10:45. And so today we have a little bit different kind of service, but want to welcome you if you're new. For those of you who are part of the True North family, if you see somebody new today, please make them feel welcome. Make them feel like they're part of the family here as we go throughout our morning together. But hey, before we dive into really kind of the meat of what I want to talk about this morning, I did want to just look back over the first 6 months of the year here and just share some highlights, like celebrate what is God doing around here in this place. And so a couple of things that came to my mind. Number one, we've had 3 baptisms already this year. Praise God for that. Whenever somebody, yeah, we can clap for that. Absolutely. Whenever somebody puts their faith in Jesus Christ and then proclaims that, obediently proclaims that to the world by taking that step of faith and in obedience, that's an amazing thing. We've had 17 new members already here at True North this year. If you look around, I have these conversations with people who have been around True North for a while, and they're like, there's so many people around here I don't recognize, I don't know. That's an amazing thing, that there are new people coming here week in and week out, getting plugged in, and then putting a stake in the ground and saying, yeah, this is my church home, I'm all in here on the mission, and I want to help True North Church advance the kingdom. So 17 new members already. The church is obviously is growing, and so that is an amazing thing. The other thing I wanted to highlight is we started something this year called The Path. It's a Bible reading plan that we're doing a chapter a day, and it's probably going to take us 3 or 4 years to work through the entire Bible. And what we do with that path journal is we do something called soap journaling. And if you're new to this, this will be new information for you, but I think really important information. So SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And there's about 110 people who are actually working through this SOAP journal with us this year. And it's been amazing to hear the comments and the feedback that we've gotten on those SOAP journals as people have been doing that. We send out regular communication to everybody that's on that path journal who's doing the SOAP journal. And sometimes we're answering, you know, tough questions. Sometimes we're just encouraging people and reminding people, hey, keep at it, keep working at it. But I wanted to read to you a couple of really just testimonies of people who have been doing this and have been so encouraging to me. One person said, I love doing the path. Even as a longtime believer, this encourages me through the SOAP method to explore a verse and fully understand it, the context and how I can apply it to my walk. Another person said, I had always struggled to read the Bible, but the path has provided accountability and kept me focused. Another person said, my wife and I have been doing the path together, and it has been really cool to share that experience and see how God is speaking to us differently through each passage. Another person said, I was never someone who liked to journal, but this has made reading the Bible so much more engaging, and I feel like I'm studying God's word in a deeper way. And then finally, someone said, we've been doing the path with our kids, and it has brought up some great questions and made for really good conversations. And so I just wanted to share that with you. For those of you who are doing the path, keep at it. I believe there is nothing that's going to change your life more than you regularly getting into the Word of God and spending that intimate time with Jesus. And for those of you maybe who didn't take that journey with us this year, begin to prayerfully consider that. Maybe jump in year two. At the end of this year, we're going to be getting ready to put that second path journal out in January and consider participating in that with us. As we move forward here towards the second half of the year, I also want to let you know about some things that we're working on that we would like to begin implementing and kind of rolling out here over the next couple of months as we move towards the end of 2025. So one thing, I shared this last week, but we're really trying to shore up our prayer ministry here. We want to have a more focused prayer ministry. And so I shared this last week. We've got a box in the back now for prayer requests. You can fill out a physical card. Please, please, please utilize that. We would love to be able to pray over whatever needs you have each and every week. And then we're also working on putting a team together that will be available for you to go over to our True North Hub after services and get prayer there for anything that you have going on in your life. So we're working on that. We're also working on relaunching something that we started a couple of years ago called Huddles. And we've tweaked that multiple times and just haven't seemed to be able to get that in the place where we feel like it's really running smoothly. And so we are working on that. I think some of it, there was confusion about, well, what's a huddle? What's a life group, right? And so we're just simply going to, I think, begin start calling those discipleship groups, not huddles, right? Just make it very simple. This is a discipleship group. If you want to be in a discipleship group, that means you're going to have a mentor and a mentee or two or three that's going to work with you through the Bible and help you understand God's word better. If you're a newer believer, or somebody who just is looking to grow in kind of a deeper way. So we're working on kind of rebranding and relaunching that. We're also working on doing some topical studies for men, for women, and for the rest of the church. Really excited about that. We love to preach through verse by verse through the Bible. That's going to be how we do things most of the time on Sunday mornings. But then there are also times when we feel, hey, there might be some stuff we need to do on marriages where people could really benefit from that, or something on finances or something on parenting, right? So there's different topical series. We're trying to figure out when the best time is to do those, the right format to do those. But just want to let you know that we are working on that, and that's coming down the pike. Hopefully sometime in the fall, we're going to be launching that. And then another big one, it's always been my desire to do a mission trip and start to do mission trips abroad here at True North. People don't realize this. I think this is hard for people that come in and they see what's going on here now, but like, we've only been a church less than 6 years. And so we are slowly becoming like a church that offers everything that you would typically think of at a local church. But it's hard to get to that place, right? A mission trip is a huge undertaking. But we are at the point now where I believe we're ready to take that step. We're gonna get the right leadership in place to help oversee that. And so what I want you to know is we don't have any official dates yet. We don't have an official location yet, but we're going to have an interest meeting sometime here in the next few months to talk about anybody who's interested in missions and wants to potentially go on a trip with us to come get information, have some conversation about that, and begin to plan for our very first mission trip here at True North Church. And so the last thing I want to say on all of that is just thank you to those of you who are faithfully giving financially and serving here to further the mission of True North Church. It is amazing to me to see how God is working here, the way he is using you, your time, talent, treasure, to ultimately help people know Jesus. And so thank you. Continue to do that. If you are not serving anywhere currently, and if you are not giving to the mission of True North Church, I would simply ask you to prayerfully consider what that might look like for you. We believe around here that's between you and God. We believe generosity, time, talent, and treasure is something that we give out of a heart that desires to simply give back and worship the Lord because of what he has done for us. And so we simply ask that you prayerfully consider what that looks like for you. And so I want to just talk mission and vision here for a second in the last couple of minutes that we have together. And so I want to begin with a question. Is being a follower of Jesus who you are or something you do? That's a really important question. And I'm not sure we think about that question enough. Because we as human beings, I think there's a tendency, we are doers. We see ourselves by what we do, the tasks that we complete and accomplish, right? So let me ask that question again. When you think about your relationship with Jesus as a follower of Jesus, is that who you are? Is it your identity? Or is it just simply something that you do? And there is a huge, huge difference. Let me give you kind of an example. Like, well, okay, well, what is the difference? Well, I can say that I am a runner. Or I can say that I am someone who likes to run. I am a runner versus I am someone who runs is two very different things. See, if I am a runner, then there is never going to be a week that goes by where I'm not going to run. Why? Because that's who I am. It's built into the very DNA of who I am as a person, right? If I'm just someone who likes to run, it's very easy. Well, that's just a task on my to-do list. And if I don't get to that task on the to-do list this week, no big deal. But if it's who I am, I can't help myself from being that thing. And so in the exact same way, let's think about our relationships with Jesus. If I am a follower of Jesus, I am a follower of Christ, I cannot help myself from doing the things that Jesus has called me to do. Why? Because that's who I am. It's not just something that I've added to my life. It's not like, oh, you know what? I like to go play basketball occasionally. So when I have time to do that, I will make time to go play basketball. Or I like to read sometimes. So when I have time, I'll make time to read. No, there's no question about it. If I'm a follower of Jesus, then it's who I am, then I'm going to do all of the things that God has called me to do as his follower. And so the reason I begin with that question today is this. I think this is part of my job, my role as the pastor of this church, is to regularly assess where my people are at, where my sheep are at in their faith journey, in their walk with Jesus. How are you doing? Like checking in with you and saying, what is that looking like for you right now? Is this just something that you check the box and you go, you know what, every once in a while I go to church. Every once in a while I read my Bible. Every once in a while I go to life group and all the different things that we do, right, as kind of followers of Jesus in modern Christian church culture, right? How are you doing though in the depth of your relationship with Jesus? Are you genuinely connecting with him? Is he transforming and changing your heart? Is there something happening on the inside that is then translating to what happens externally in your life? I think it's my responsibility to keep my finger on the pulse of that and then to regularly remind us, what does that look like? Because at the end of the day, here's my hope for you, that you are growing in your faith and your relationship with Jesus, that you are having impact in your families and in the world around you, and ultimately that you are living an abundant life. You are living a life filled with joy and peace and contentment. That is my desire and my hope for you. And so there's some things that we regularly need to stop, and we just need to go back to the absolute basics, the foundation. Who are we called to be? If we say we are followers of Jesus, that's who we are. Who are we called to be? I want us ultimately as a church to be a church that is living on mission together. So at the end of the day, we have this mission around here. It's very simple. It's helping people discover Jesus and develop into world-changing disciples. Uh-oh, we got the countdown going here. that's my Academy Award. Get off the stage, dude. You got 9 minutes. And so we have a mission here. Right, the mission is helping people discover Jesus and helping them develop into world-changing disciples, right? Discover Jesus and develop them into world-changing disciples. How we do that is our vision. The vision is we are bridging the gap between the hopelessly lost and the hope of Jesus. How are we doing that? By raising up leaders, raising up disciples to reach their neighborhoods, their families, their communities with the gospel. That's what we're doing. That's what we're about around here. And so the question then is, if we're about raising up leaders, we're about raising up disciples, what does that look like? What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus Christ? I want to talk about that for a second, because this is who we are supposed to be. No matter how you slice it, when you look at God's word, when we open the scriptures, to me it is so clear There's three things that we are called to do and called to live out regularly in our lives. And the first one is this. It starts with, and you've heard this before if you've been around here for a while, it starts with abiding in Christ. And so we're going to open the word today, and I want to read to you from John chapter 15, a couple of different verses here in John 15 that just show us this. This is one of my favorite chapters in Scripture. Look what Jesus says. And just for some context here on this text, Jesus is speaking this to the disciples just after he's washed their feet in the upper room. He's about to be betrayed by Judas, and he's about to get ready to go to the cross. And so this is one of the last things that Jesus speaks to his disciples. That should make us perk up, right? Look at what it says. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Jump down to verse 4. He says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And then look at verses 9 through 11. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. He says, abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things, don't miss this last part here. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. And so I just want to look at this verse for a second here, these couple of verses. And talk about, remind us here, that the number one priority of our life as followers of Jesus, as people who are Jesus followers, is to be abiding in him, right? First of all, what does he say? He says, he is the true vine. Did you catch this? I was reading this week, and this just stuck out to me in a different way. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Insinuating, guess what? There are false vines, aren't there? Yeah, if he is the true vine and we are the branches, then he is the only one that we need to stay connected to and stay focused on. And what we do, I think in my life, and I think in yours as well, is we find other vines to kind of connect to that we think are going to fill us up. We think are going to give us what only Jesus can actually give us. That may be, you know, alcohol. It may be video games. It may be exercise. You can just go on down the list of the vines that we try to attach ourselves to be filled up and feel that fulfillment that only Jesus can give. And so one thing that I care about deeply is your overall mental, spiritual, emotional health. If you are struggling today, I believe the answer is abiding in Jesus. It is just making him the only priority, the highest priority of your life, right? Why? Because look at what it says in verses 4 and 5. It says, apart from me, you will bear no fruit. The next two things we're going to talk about here, they don't happen if we're not abiding in Jesus first. They don't happen if we're not first getting filled up by him, right? Now, verse 10 says, we abide in his love. How do we abide in him? By keeping his commandments. That's how we abide. That's how we stay connected to the vine. We look to Jesus to give us the commands for our life. Here's your marching orders. Every day we wake up and go, okay, Jesus, how do you want me to live my life today? How do you want me to respond to this situation today? What's the impact you want me to have today? He is our king, right? He is master of our life at this point. That's what he's telling us, right? And then he tells us this in verse 11. He tells us this is not to control us. Right? He's not telling us, you need to be obedient so that you're sitting under my control. Yes, there is an element of surrender. We just sang that in the last song we sang this morning. But why does Jesus tell us to follow his commands? Look at what he says. I want to read this verse again. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Do you want a fullness of joy in your life? I do. And I want a fullness of joy in your life. How does that come? How does that happen? Jesus says, by abiding in him, by remaining in him, by keeping his commandments, by following him with your whole heart, right? And so what does that look like practically for us? It's very simple. One of the highest priorities of our church is to make sure you are in the word of God daily, spending time in his word, spending time in prayer, in communication, in fellowship with him, sitting and listening and actually hearing and listening for the Spirit of God speaking in your life. And so let me ask you a question. And I think this should be, if you are a person right now who maybe you've gotten off track, maybe you started the year really well, right? We started the year with New Year's resolutions. We're going to read the Bible. We're going to do the path journal. And maybe you've gotten a little bit off track. Can I simply ask you right now, how has your abiding time been lately? Have you been spending that time with Jesus? As your pastor, I don't think there's anything else that I can encourage you to do more or challenge you with more. And so, hey, we're halfway through the year. Here's an opportunity to reset if you haven't been doing that. I want to encourage you and challenge you to do that. Number one, who we are as followers of Jesus, we are people who abide. We remain in Jesus. He is our source. He is the vine of everything that we are going to do. Secondly, we also love. We abide and we love. I want to turn over to John 13:34, just a few chapters before this. And Jesus gives this amazing command to his disciples. Look at what he says here. Verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And then don't miss verse 35. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In other words, what Jesus is saying here is, we will know. We will know how committed, how faithful we are to the Lord by how we love other people. It's the tangible expression of God's love that he's pouring into us, right? If we're abiding and remaining, he's filling us up. We're getting that joy. We're getting that love from him. We're getting it from the right source. And now we're able to give it out to others, right? And so the commandment is, love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as I have loved you. How did Jesus love us? How did he love us? By sacrificing his life. He died on the cross for us. He gave up his life for us. There is no greater act of love, right? We have some kind of culture statements we talk about here sometimes. What does it look like? How do we actually love others the way that Jesus did? Well, we talk about this all the time. We're going to show grace. We're going to show grace to people. We're going to speak truth to people because the truth will set you free. We're going to share Jesus with the world around us. There's nothing more important, no truth more important than sharing that. We're gonna serve generously with all that we have, our time, talent, treasure. And we're gonna seek community, right? People who love other people, they wanna be in relationship with other people. They wanna spend time with other people, right? And so again, let's look at verse 35 just one more time here, because this is so important. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. How is the world going to know that we are who we say we are? By how we follow Jesus, right? And he says the number one thing that you're gonna do as you follow me is to love others. That's how they'll know. There's something different about you. There's a different way that Christians love, right? It's an unconditional type of love. It's a gracious love. It's a truth-filled love. Are we doing that? That's my question, right? Are we doing that? How are we loving the people around us? Are we actually living that out? Church, in our family, first and foremost, but in our neighborhoods, our communities, our jobs, right? And so here's what I want to challenge you to do. Some of you have already taken this challenge. If you've never taken it before, I want to challenge you to do it today. We have a place on our website. You can go and you can write down some names of people that you want to see them know the gospel. You want to see them experience Jesus Christ. And it starts with loving them and beginning to pray for them and beginning to look for opportunities to actually serve them. And so I want to encourage you, write down some names and begin to serve some people. Invite them out for coffee or dinner and pay for it. Go over to their house and offer to serve them. If they've got kids, maybe offer to babysit their kids so they can have a date night. I mean, there's so many different ways that we can begin to serve the people around us and just to begin to live out the command and the calling that God has placed on us here in John 13:34 and 35. Ultimately, here's the language I would put on it. You are building bridges, relational bridges, by loving the people around you. That's how you begin to build a bridge to actually begin to even share the good news of the gospel. Okay, and then finally, so we're gonna abide, we're gonna love, and then Matthew 28:18-20. We're gonna lead, we're gonna abide, we're gonna love, we're gonna lead. This is what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. Let me read this to you. This is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And so the first thing I want us to see here is how Jesus begins this statement. Two words that are unbelievably important. He says, all authority has been given to me. In other words, Jesus says, what I'm about to say to you is a command. I have all authority. I'm king of the universe, king of the world. I oversee it all. And if you are going to be my follower, this is not just a suggestion, the thing that I'm about to share with you. This is a command. If you are a follower of Jesus, if you say this is who you are, you cannot separate yourself from this command. What is the command? Well, to put it very short and sweet, make disciples. That's why we are here. That's why we exist as the people of God and the church of God. I believe the day Jesus is done with me making disciples on this planet, he's going to take me home. That could be tomorrow. It might be 50 years from now. But the reason you are here, the reason you exist at this point in time, is to make disciples. That's the whole reason we must abide. It's the whole reason we must love, is so that ultimately we can share the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with people. Reach them and then teach them, it says. Again, to take that whole statement and make it as simple as possible. Go into all the world, to every nation. Reach people with the good news of the gospel and then teach them what it looks like to follow Jesus. And so again, I want to challenge you. We're halfway through the year. Maybe you haven't thought about this in a while. Who are the people in your life that you can be inviting to church to come and hear the good news of the gospel? Who are the people in your life that you can just begin to share the good news with them? How many of us in this room, can I ask this? This is critical. Could actually articulate the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody. That's important. One of the things that we are working on is I want to equip our body better to be able to do that. If there's fears about that, if there's questions about how do I actually do that, we want to do that. We want to be able to come alongside of you. So look for that coming here, not long into the future here. We're going to work on that together. But could you articulate the gospel today if someone asked you, what's this whole God thing about? What's this whole Jesus thing about? We want to be a church. I want us to be a church as your pastor that becomes like a fluent second language to be able to share the gospel with somebody in a way that makes sense and is tangible and doesn't come across as judgmental and it's gracious, but it's truthful, right? All of those things, that is who we are commanded to be. We abide, we love, we lead. I know, I recognize this. For some of you that have been around here for a while, this is not new information. This is something we go over at least once a year, regularly. Why do we do that though? Because I can tell you right now what I'm like as a human being. It's very easy to just get complacent, to get comfortable, to slip into just my everyday living, and to completely forget about who I'm actually called to be. And so I want to close with this. There are going to be some major obstacles to this, and you know what these are, but I want to share them just to maybe convict some hearts a little bit this morning and remind us to be on the lookout for these things. We love to make excuses for why we're not going to do these things, why we're not going to share the gospel, why we're not going to love people, right? Number one is I'm too busy. How many of us feel like that? I'm just too busy. I got too much going on with my life. I was thinking about this week. This is like mind-blowing to me. You know, 150 years ago, it required from sunup to sundown, making your meals, washing clothing, tending to the fields, right? Like, I mean, literally from sunup to sundown, you just had to work to live just to survive. Fast forward here to 2025, we live in the most cushy, easy culture that has ever existed. Because of modern technology, we should, right? Like we have machines to wash our clothes. We eat out. You can make a phone call and have food delivered to your house in 20 minutes, right? We should have more time than ever before. And yet, I feel like we have less time than ever before. Why is that? It's not because we have less time, church. It's not. It's because here's what we've done. All of the things that we have to do to live and survive have now been in some ways automated and made easier. And so you know what we've done? We've taken all that extra time and now we fill it up with stuff for us. Well, I'm in golf leagues and I'm in, you know, all these different activities and things that I get involved in. I'm binge watching this Netflix series. I mean, there's all these different things that we now fill up that extra time with because we've got so much more time on our hands. And so really, the question is not, are you too busy to live these things out? The question is, what are your priorities? And as your pastor, I think it's my responsibility to regularly remind us of that. I'm going to just tell you straight. You're not too busy. You're not. Your priorities, our priorities, mine too sometimes, are out of whack. That's the real issue. That's the real problem. And so we got to be on the lookout for that, church. Second thing is this, individualism and self-centeredness rules the day, doesn't it? Right? Like modern culture emphasizes personal freedom over everything else, right? But following Jesus is the complete opposite of that. If we are really going to follow Jesus, Jesus says, no, we surrender all to him. We submit all to him, to whatever he wants us to do, wherever he wants us to go. It's not about me anymore. And this is part of the reason that I think we struggle in this day and age to actually live these things out, to abide, love, and lead, because we've made it all about us. And finally, and I think these two things go hand in hand, right? I think the greatest hindrance right now in our culture is comfort and consumerism. Comfort and consumerism, right? If we're really honest with ourselves, our thoughts might go something like this. I just really would rather spend my time doing the things I want to do with my life. If we're really honest in our heart. And so, taking 15, 20 minutes to read our Bibles in the morning and take some time to pray, I'd rather be doing something else, right? Taking time to serve or make sure I get to church on Sundays or meeting with my neighbor for coffee for an hour to share the gospel with them, or like you can play this out in so many different areas. That's great and I know I should do that, but ultimately I just would really rather spend my time doing something that I want to do with my life. And so the last question I have for us as we close here this morning is simply for you to ask yourself, where are you at in your personal, spiritual, daily walk with the Lord? I can't know what that looks like. Only you and God can truly know what that looks like. But it should be the highest priority of our life to be abiding, loving, and leading. It should be. And everything else, ultimately, that's who we are. Everything else should have to fit into that, not the other way around. And that is my heart for our church. And I believe that's how the world has been changed for 2,000 years, because Christians who understood who they really were lived those things out. Can we be that kind of community, church, as we go into the second half of this year? Church, it's going to require for some of us a lifestyle change. It's not just about adding another program or task to your life's to-do list. Frankly, that will only last for so long. It's only when we recognize this is who I am that real lasting change happens. And so let me just close with really, I think, the greatest motivator for all of this. Because I can stand up here and I can tell you all of these things. And for some of you, it might just be like, you know what? Justin's just up there telling us all the things we're supposed to do. Ultimately, if we are not doing these things out of the right heart posture and motivation, then honestly, I don't think it's pleasing to the Lord at all. Why do we do all of this, church? Why do we do it? Because Jesus Christ did it for us. Did he not? Our Savior decided to go to the cross, to sacrifice, to serve, to give everything that he had for us, so that we could live in freedom, so that we could have a new life. We could have hope and purpose and joy. That's what Jesus says. I tell you these things so that your joy might be full. Jesus came and he did that for us. He modeled that for us. And so from this point forward, as followers of Jesus, it's not just about a checklist of things to do. It's not out of obligation. It's not out of duty. It's out of a heart of desiring to love and serve my King. And that is the most important thing I can tell you today, is that Jesus Christ loved us enough to die for us. And now we get to, we don't have to, we get to, right? There's a difference. We get to live for him and make his name famous in the world. That's my hope and prayer for us.